إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. O you who believe, fear your Lord, have taqwa of Him. إن زلزلة الساعة. Indeed, the earthquake of the hour is a mighty event. Mighty event. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we began last week speaking about the greatest objective and the greatest obligation in this world, which is the realization of the Tawheed of Uluhiyah, the realization of the oneness of the one worshipped, and holding on to it until the day we leave this world. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the Tawheed of Uluhiyah is signified in the kalima La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worshipped in truth except Allah Most High, Mighty and Powerful. And this word, La ilaha illallah, it is not a word that is just a statement that does not have any significance. It's not a word that is just said without any implication or meaning. Rather, it is a word that is of the most greatest import, the greatest word that exists in this world. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it is obligatory for us to act in accordance to what La ilaha illallah implies and to fulfill the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Hassan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy upon him, he was told, is it not true that people say, whoever says La ilaha illallah will enter paradise? Hassan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy upon him, replied, whoever says La ilaha illallah, fulfilling its conditions and acting in accordance to its obligations, he shall enter paradise. And Al-Wahhab ibn al-Munabbah, rahimahullah, one of the great ulama and scholars of this ummah, he was told about the hadith, La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise. Is it not true that there's a hadith, La ilaha illallah is the key of paradise? Wahhab ibn Munabbah, rahimahullah, he said, yes indeed, it is the key, but every key has teeth on it. It has teeth. Either you bring the teeth, or the door will not be open for you. And on another occasion, Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he was sitting in the majlis of Al-Farazdaq, one of the Arab poets. And this poet, he used to write poetry, sometimes accusing some women of indecency, which is a great sin in Islam. So Hassan al-Basri, he asked Al-Farazdaq, he said, what have you prepared for the meeting with your Lord? So Farazdaq, he said, I have been saying La ilaha illallah for 70 years. 70 years I've been saying La ilaha illallah. Then Hassan al-Basri, he replied to him. He said, La ilaha illallah has its conditions. Fear Allah and do not accuse chaste women of indecency. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, let us come together in today's khutbah and listen to the explanation of the ulama regarding the conditions for the fulfillment of La ilaha illallah. First and foremost, the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is that we negate any shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We affirm ubudiyyah to Allah alone. And this is what we repeat at least 17 times every day in the salah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Iyyaka, you alone do we worship. You alone do we worship, and from you alone do we seek help. So the ubudiyyah is to Allah alone. The ubudiyyah is not to any intermediary, any angel, any prophet, any wali or saint, or any grave to bring us closer to Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The isti'ana, the dua, the seeking of help, the reliance, the hope and fear, this should be to Allah Almighty, Allah alone. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this kalima, La ilaha illallah, it implies negating all forms of ubudiyyah other than that which is Allah alone. Humility and submission, khudu' to Allah Ta'ala. So this, from here the ulama, they say, the oneness of Allah in worship, it begins with the condition of ilm. The first condition is knowledge. Allah Ta'ala, He says, فَعْلَمْ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ. Know that there is no deity worshipped in truth except Allah. So the first condition is knowledge, which we just mentioned, explaining or understanding what it means to negate any ubudiyyah to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first condition. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, whoever dies knowing that there is La ilaha illallah shall enter paradise. The hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. So knowledge of the oneness of ubudiyyah. This is the first step. Number two is the second condition for the fulfillment of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, so that we truly live by it and die upon it, is yaqeen. Yaqeen. We know the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, we understand His uniqueness in worship, but we should have yaqeen in that, without any doubt, without any shubha, without any questioning, that the belief in the oneness of Allah should be with full yaqeen, with full understanding and full conviction of the heart. Allah Ta'ala, He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Indeed, the believers, they are those who have faith. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The believers, they are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. And then they don't have any doubt about it. They don't question or have doubt or reluctance to understand or believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I bear witness that there is no deity worshipped in truth except Allah, and I bear witness that I am the Messenger of Allah. Whoever dies believing in this without any doubt in his heart shall enter paradise. Without any doubt in these two things. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the third condition for the acceptance of the Tawheed, the Kalima, La ilaha illallah, the third condition is Ikhlas. Ikhlas, or sincerity. Having the sincerity for Allah Ta'ala alone. And so that the words are spoken with the lips and believed in the heart. Sincerity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah has forbidden the hellfire for one who says La ilaha illallah, seeking Allah's face by it, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ikhlas means there's no ostentation, no riya, no showing off. And so that the word is made for Allah alone. Ala lillahi ad-deenul khalis. Number four, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is Siddiq. Siddiq or truthfulness. Saying La ilaha illallah truthfully with the tongue and the heart and acting in accordance to it in open and in secret. Acting in accordance to La ilaha illallah in open and in secret. This is what Siddiq, truthfully saying these words, they mean. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, he mentioned, there is no one who bears witness that there is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah truthfully from his heart, except that Allah will save him from the hellfire. So being truthful, having the truthfulness in open and secret of this kalima, La ilaha illallah. And from the conditions of La ilaha illallah, number five, is to have the love for Allah and His Messenger, and for the kalima of Tawheed, and for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for the sharia of Allah and His religion, and for the people of iman and obedience. This is implied by La ilaha illallah. If we truly say La ilaha illallah, then we should have love for Allah and His Messenger, and for His sharia, and for those who follow His sharia. This is what is entailed, implied by saying La ilaha illallah. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith that was agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim, three things, whoever has them will taste the sweetness of faith. He will taste the sweetness of faith. One is that Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anything else. Number two, that he loves another Muslim only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And number three is that he fears going back to a state of kufr like he fears being thrown into a fire. So the first condition for tasting the sweetness of iman is that we love Allah and His Messenger more than anyone else, more than anything else. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, and number six, and very importantly, the final of the conditions of La ilaha illallah, is that when we say La ilaha illallah, we should have complete qabool, complete acceptance to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and His deen, and not have any resistance or reluctance to any of the commandments that Allah and His Messenger have made of this religion. Completely accepting and compliant with the tongue, the limbs, and the heart to the sharia of Allah Most High. Accepting it completely within one's heart and being, so that one is attached to his Lord Most High, and all of his actions are in compliance and in submission to his Lord Most High and Mighty. This is the final condition for La ilaha illallah, qabool, complete submission, and not having any resistance to the commandments of Allah Most High, as Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. It is not for a believer, وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ, male or female, if Allah and the Messenger, they decreed an affair, that they have any choice in the matter. That is, when they know that Allah and His Messenger have decreed an affair, they submit to it humbly and in complete khudu'a, qabool, of the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps you've heard the story of a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a dispute with a Jew, and so he came and they adjudicated their affair in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled in favor of the Jew. And so the Muslim, he did not feel comfortable or accept the decree of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said to the Jew, let's go to Umar and see what Umar rules in this affair. So then they both went to Umar, and the Muslim, he said to Umar, this is the dispute I had with the Jew. The Prophet ﷺ ruled as such, so I want to see what your ruling is. So Umar, he said, really, this is what has happened? I will give you the ruling in a minute. So he went and he brought his sword and he struck that Muslim. He struck that person for rejecting, or he struck that man who rejected the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He struck his neck. This is because he rejected the decree of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He refused to accept, which is a condition of La ilaha illallah. He refused to accept the direct decree of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this is our ummah, the ummah of submission to Allah Ta'ala. We do not compete with Allah's religion, or we do not compete with Allah for rulership or for authority. We completely submit our desires and our feelings to Allah Ta'ala's religion. Islam is the constitution of this ummah, the source of honor and greatness. And so we must overpower our nafs and completely submit to our Creator, most mighty and powerful. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد الأمين. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, as we saw in the event that took place with Umar ibn al-Khattab, the man had openly committed kufr by rejecting the commandment of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, for others, in dealing with other Muslims, the scholars, they state that we cannot declare any person as a non-Muslim for any sin that they do. This is a consensus of the Ummah, that the Muslims, we do not declare anybody a disbeliever because of a sin that they do. Rather, there are certain conditions that must be fulfilled in order for us, for one to declare the kufr of another. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if anyone says to his fellow Muslim, you are a kafir, then it is true for one of the two. And the ulama, they say this, what does this mean? It means that if that person really is a kafir, then it's true for him. Or, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the words return back upon him. Meaning, some of the ulama said that if he believes it's allowed to declare other Muslims as disbelievers, he himself is a kafir. Declaring other Muslims as disbelievers without evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, believing that is permissible would cause the person himself to become a non-Muslim. Or some of the ulama say the words return upon him, meaning the sin of that statement would return back upon the person. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in the close of today's khutbah, 4 points, inshaAllah ta'ala, we ask Allah to make them beneficial. One is that the words of Tawheed, we heard the conditions today, the 6 conditions of the Tawheed. They apply for us today, and they apply for us for the rest of our life. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-amur bi khawatimiha. Matters are judged by their ending of things. So we must learn these words. We must understand them as explained by our scholars, and we must continue to learn them and revive them and live by them throughout our lives until we leave this world. But in order to do that, to fulfill the obligations of La ilaha illallah and stay away from what Allah forbade, and do what He commanded, the way that we learn these obligations is through learning from our shuyukh and our scholars and our ulama. Because knowing what is halal and haram is by the people of dhikr. As Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. Ask the people of dhikr if you do not know. Who are the people of dhikr? They are the ulama. So seeking knowledge, seeking the rulings on affairs, so that we can truly submit to La ilaha illallah. The way we do that is by going to our scholars and teachers and being humble to learn the knowledge from them. To learn what is halal, to learn what is haram, so that we can truly obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point is that we should avoid disputation and argumentation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was from his khuluq, his akhlaq, that he did not dispute and argue with people. And it's from the teaching of Allah Ta'ala, idfa billati hiya ahsan. When we discuss with one another matters of religion, if it leads to dispute, then many of the scholars have said that because of disputation, people are deprived of knowledge. So disputing with one another, if the other party is not listening or learning, then it's better to change the topic and not dwell on an issue which no knowledge is being transferred, disputing and creating ill feelings. And the third point, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the third point that we must pay attention to is that we have to use wisdom in the way that we correct or we see people making mistakes. We use the knowledge and the wisdom. As the Prophet ﷺ, he dealt with a Bedouin who urinated in the masjid. He used words of hikmah. He took him aside and told him in a nice way, this is a place of dhikr of Allah. It's not a place of urinating or of unclean things. He used the wisdom, and in that way the Bedouin, he was very pleased with the way the Prophet ﷺ taught him. He said in some narrations, I never saw a teacher better than him, neither before him nor after him. So using the wisdom when teaching one another and avoiding disputation, this is one of the important teachings of our religion. And finally, the sickness that is rampant amongst all people is the sickness of ignorance. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the cure for ignorance, the cure for it is asking, is seeking knowledge. So what we must do in order to remove our state, ourselves from a state of ignorance, is by learning from our scholars and ulama, our shuyukh, reading the fatawa of the great ulama, Mecca and Medina, and other, and accepting these fatawa and listening and learning from our scholars and our teachers, so that we can remove ourselves from a state of ignorance. The cure for ignorance is asking. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us knowledge that will benefit us in this world and the next. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الحق والدين اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم فرج هم المهمومين من المؤمنين في كل مكان اللهم عز كلمة المسلمين اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Pray every prayer as if it is your last prayer. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. سبحان ربنا الله أكبر.